Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to be with you today. I also can't thank you enough for the extraordinary feedback that all of us on the Air Talk and KPCC team have been receiving from listeners like you over the past several days. We have just seen record-setting interaction from listeners on our different platforms as more and more people are home. And also as we're somewhat more socially isolated, looking for ways of connecting with other people. This is the biggest conversation in all of Southern California, just the number of people that come together each day to hear from each other. And last hour, a prime example of that. And I want to thank you for the wonderful calls. We're going to continue on a daily basis to really emphasize listener participation on the program because of the value of all of us being able to hear from each other here on KPCC. So thank you for your participation. Thank you for your moral support for that during this extraordinary time. And I also want to thank those of you that have contributed financially. Our member drive goes through Friday, but we've suspended it in its typical on-air way. Please make your contribution now because we've got to raise $1 million during this drive to assure we balance our budget. So somehow in the world, we've got to raise as much money as we would otherwise to be able to bring you the news coverage and the programming that we do. Your contribution, 866-888-5722. That's 866-888-5722 or kpcc.org. I appreciate your support so much. I want to take a moment to offer thanks to those of you who are working harder than ever during this time of restrictions because of COVID-19 and also because some of the challenges of people being able to get the things that they need that they would typically get going out and shopping at a supermarket or discount store or membership store. I'm talking about those of you that are professional drivers. You deliver goods, you deliver food, you drive other people to doctor's appointments. I'm talking about those of you that work in supermarkets, in warehouses that are having to up the pace at which you stock the shelves so that deliveries can be made to people's homes. I'm talking about those of you that are working in logistics to make sure that all the goods that people need are available to them. This half hour of Air Talk, we're going to open up the phone lines for those of you that are working in those areas whose work lives have changed dramatically. Maybe you drive for Amazon, for Uber, you work at a warehouse. 866-893-5722. That's 866-893-5722 or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. We're then going to shift at the half hour and take calls from those of you that work in the healthcare business. So you work at a hospital, urgent care, doctor's office, dental office. And I want to hear from those of you whose jobs have changed significantly as a result of COVID-19 in the healthcare business. That's coming up in just about 25 minutes. Once again, for those of you that are professional drivers, for those of you working in supermarkets, for those of you that are working at retail stores that need to stay open, 866-893-5722. John in Newhall, thanks for joining us. What kind of work do you do?
I'm a driver, Larry, a semi-driver, and I've been out here for the last couple of weeks watching quite a significant change as far as places where I deliver. And, of course, the directives I'm getting from my company. And I'll give you a couple of examples. About 2 weeks ago, we got a four-page text, basically, which led off by saying that the company is going to be providing drivers with hand sanitizers and that type of equipment. And they must have come to a very quick realization that that was not going to happen, because within a few hours, we got a follow-up saying, you guys are pretty much on your own as far as that goes.
Yeah, because of the shortages, sure.
Yeah. But the situation out here is so fluid. You know, yesterday, for example, got you know, the company-wide text saying that if you're going to use truck stops, you know, go in, be as brief as you can. Of course, you know, social distancing, all that.
Sure.
But they're recommending not staying at truck stops.
Well, that's got to be hard. I don't know how long the hauls are that you do, John, but if you use the truck stops to do your laundry and, you know, to catch a meal in the coffee shop and stuff like that, and to talk with other drivers, that's a social outlet. That's got to be hard to go without that.
It is, although I will say that I usually keep to myself anyways, so that part actually hasn't been the portion. But their recommendations of going to rest stops and or some states, California doesn't really have it, but some states have those travel bureau centers as you're entering the state. You know, you
can sure.
There. My disagreement with that recommendation was that since I go to truck stops all the time, I have seen the ramped up efforts that truck stops such as Love's and TA and Petro are doing right now as far as maintaining cleanliness, going around and sanitizing all their surfaces.
So you feel like there's not a reason to be particularly concerned, more so than any other sort of a public place, because those companies, obviously, they want to keep drivers and their employees healthy, too.
Exactly. And I just don't know how often rest stops get that type of cleanliness.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the state-operated rest stops. Hey, John, thank you so much. I have other callers. I'm going to get to them, but really appreciate you as a driver of a semi-rig joining us and sharing your experience. 866-893-5722. This half hour of Air Talk, we're speaking with those of you that drive for a living, those of you that work in logistics, that work in warehouses, retail environments where you've got to work. And in fact, your job has changed dramatically because of not just the virus, but because of other people having to work from home or being restricted on going out. 866-893-KPECC. James in Pasadena, what's your line of work and how has it changed?
I am a gig worker in a grocery shopping and delivery business. And because of people working at home or afraid to go to grocery stores, orders have exploded through the roof. We can't keep up with demand. So we're out here doing our best. From personal experience, I will say that, you know, shelves may be bare sometimes, but our customers, for the most part, are extremely understanding and roll with the punches just like we have to when we're in the supermarkets.
That's great. Now, I've heard from some people like yourself in the gig economy who feel a little resentful about this. And then there are other people who feel like, you know, my job has never had more meaning than it does right now. And I'm, you know, in the same way that a healthcare worker is providing irreplaceable service, I'm doing that and delivering things to people. How are you taking it?
That's the perspective that I'm sort of the lens I'm looking through. There are a lot of folks who, with underlying health reasons, and now I just drop their items off at the door. So they typically don't go out very often, which is why they use the service in the first place. But now it's really a necessity for a lot of my regular customers who I deliver to on a weekly basis.
And I assume your number of customers is growing. So, James, I'm going to let you go because you probably have a lot of deliveries and visits to supermarkets you need to make. James in Pasadena, thank you so much. We're asking people whose jobs have changed substantially as a result of COVID-19, the work that you're doing. Next half hour, it'll be people in the healthcare industry because, of course, they're on the front lines of this. Right now, it's people who are doing deliveries, working in retail, supermarkets, who are driving in any way, shape, or form professionally and really need to do it because you're filling that space for those of us who cannot do those things for ourselves. 866-893-KPECC. Josue in Van Nuys, you're on Air Talk.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. So what do you do?
Oh, I do a little bit of both, Larry. I deliver for the healthcare industry, but I do deliveries for a radio nuclear pharmacy.
Okay.
And I deliver certain cancer medicine and also tests that require radionucleotides in the medicine. And while
you must be incredibly busy doing these medical deliveries, Josue, has your schedule changed?
Yes, we're working overtime because a lot of people have been getting more tests done that require more product going out, and they're also just requiring us every time we clock in to check our temperature, to you know, wash our hands, have the sanitizing wipes in our stations, in our cars. We have to wipe down our steering wheels, everything, buttons, every time we do a delivery, and clean our hands.
Yeah, Josue, it's a lot of stuff. Your phone connection, not that great, so I'm going to let you go. But it's about as irreplaceable as any field medical delivery services, Josue in Van Nuys. Larry, in Westchester, I understand you're a ride-hailing driver. How has your business changed?
I got to tell you, this whole issue became really clear to me a few days ago. When I think I was in Maywood, I picked up this elderly woman, Hispanic, so we had a hard time communicating, a little bit overweight, and when I went to pick her up, she was like 30 feet away from the car, couldn't make it, so I had to actually go there and let her use my arm to stabilize herself to get to the car. And then when I got to the destination, I realized that she was going to her cardiologist, so I had to help her the same way all the way up to the fourth floor. And then it hit me, how would she have gotten there without me, part one? And part two, how do I know I wasn't infected when I helped her?
Sure. Yeah, you're putting yourself at risk, no question, and you're making, obviously, a conscious decision to take that risk to help a woman who otherwise would find it difficult, if not impossible, to get to her appointment. So now, in retrospect, how do you feel about it, Larry?
I just feel like, first of all, I realize at this moment how ubiquitous rideshare is. We need to be out there. But I really think that both organizations, Uber and Lyft, really need to work on, like, at least weekly COVID checks for the drivers that they have on staff, if not more, if possible.
Yeah, and of course, there aren't the tests available to do that at this point, but hopefully there are mitigation that you and other drivers are able to do. You know, obviously, if you're helping to physically take a woman to her appointment up to the doctor, you're having contact. And so there is a degree of risk that goes with that. Larry, thank you for sharing it. And yeah, ride-hailing drivers are absolutely indispensable, taxi drivers and others during this time. Sandra, in Wilmington, I understand you're at an auto distribution center at Wilmington in the port area. So how has your business changed?
Well, it changed a lot. I mean, like I'm stating, we have morning meetings every day, and they recently just stopped those morning meetings. And I don't understand how they say they don't want 10 people or more in the meetings. But, yeah, our break rooms and lunch breaks are full of more than 200 people.
Wow.
And how our morning meetings will stop the spread, but, yeah, our lunch breaks, you know, we're all connected. It was still the same thing, whether we have morning meetings or not.
And is everybody coming into work? Or I mean, if you're at a distribution center, it's not something you can do at home, right? Is everybody showing up?
Yes. As of now, yes, there's been talks about being shut down, but it's nothing has been confirmed by our company.
Okay. And all right. I appreciate it, Sandra. Thank you for sharing what's going on there. Randy in Anaheim, I understand you both drive for Uber at night and then you work in a Target warehouse during the daytime hours. So how has this affected, I assume, a great deal, both of your areas of work?
Actually, as far as the back room and Target warehousing goes, it's been pretty much everything's been, I would say, basically green-lighted as far as needs and necessities and stuff that aren't needs and necessities are put off to the side. As far as Uber, there's no insurance or anything that actually covers or protects us. So when we run out of work, we're pretty much left out high and limb. And with how children are not in school right now, and it was almost suddenly it affects people, the ones that are parents too, are not able to do their day job.
Yeah, and especially with two jobs like you have, you're making ends meet with a particularly long work day, so it's got to be very hard. Have the number of passengers you pick up for Uber dropped dramatically lately, or stayed constant?
Yeah, I would have an average of 35 rides per day. And yesterday and the day before, I got one and two rides.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. So are you going to bother to go on the app, or you feel like it's maybe not worth it?
I don't actually believe it's worth it at this point. And if you don't directly have the COVID virus or it's taking care of somebody that has it, Uber won't actually help cover you as far as any assistance.
Okay. Randy, have you talked with other Uber and Lyft drivers? Are they, to your knowledge, feeling similarly?
Yeah, and a lot of them actually won't even drive right now because of all of the things that are happening. So I thought that kind of been an opportunity to have more rides available, but it's both the riders and drivers that aren't actually going out.
Randy, thanks for the update. Appreciate it. Works for Target at their warehouse, also drives for Uber. Let's talk next with Jeremiah joining us from Riverside. Jeremiah, I understand you do delivery for a grocery store. You must be so busy.
Oh, it's extremely busy, extremely busy.
And are you having difficulty fulfilling the orders?
We're having a lot of difficulties right now because the warehouse is empty. We're running out of product to service the stores.
And what about your schedule? Are you working longer days?
Yeah, that was the part that I was concerned about, because I know a lot of people are not working as many hours, but we're actually working a ton of hours. We were told because of the president issued a state of emergency that the DOT laws were no longer applicable. So we're actually working way more hours than we normally would under regular law.
Hmm. Yeah, and I can't speak to that issue, but is your grocery company looking at hiring more drivers?
They've been considering it. They put out a call for outside carriers, but we're a union company, so it's a little hard to do so as far as the union contract goes.
Okay. Plus, you have to have enough vehicles, right? So probably that's limiting to some degree.
Absolutely. We've been running out of trucks nearly every day, drivers waiting for trucks and things of that nature.
Jeremiah, we wish you the best. And again, thanks to all of you who are working longer hours, working harder, having to take many more precautions, which add to anxiety in some cases, to the amount of work associated with your jobs, but you're providing something absolutely invaluable to our lives here in Southern California. We'll continue with more listener calls. If you're a professional driver, if you're someone who works at a supermarket, a retail establishment that needs to be open because customers are relying on you, you can't work from home, you're out there in the world and providing us with the things that we need. I want to hear from you. 866-893-KPECC. Back in 1 minute. Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So glad to have you with us. We're showing our appreciation to those of you that are working in ways or with the kinds of hours you never would have been previously, because you're essential to filling aspects of our lives, things we can't do for ourselves. I'm talking about those of you that are professional drivers, logistics people, working in retail establishments, supermarkets, and the like. Maybe you're a sanitation worker. You pick up the trash. You got to be out there for public health issue. You work for a utility company, and it's essential that you be there. You're out repairing the lines for cable television and electricity. We're at 866 1-800-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. In just a few minutes, we're going to transition to those of you that are in the healthcare sector to hear how dramatically your work lives have changed. Juan in Ontario says, we work for a trash company. I drive a trash truck. It's difficult because we have to go through what people throw away. I'm afraid of infection, but it's my job. I'm happy to do it. I think people could assist this, though, by bagging properly. Juan, we're happy to pass that on to people to try and make your job safer and provide you with less exposure. That's Juan in Ontario, driving a trash truck and also going through the refuse that people dump. Alonzo in West Covina says, I'm a real estate appraiser. Man, you must really be busy. Of course, mortgage interest rates are so low now, so people right and left are refinancing. He said, I have a lot of work that I've got to do, and I have to keep going into people's houses. Alonzo, yeah, I have no doubt you must be seeing so much work as a part of this whole refi thing that's taking place. Let's talk with Stephen in Long Beach joining us. Stephen, I understand you're a driver at the ports. So we keep hearing about how cargo is down considerably because of COVID-19 in China. But what's your work life like?
Well, I drive for a cold storage company, and I primarily deal with frozen foods. And our workload has just picked up exponentially. I'm working like 60, 70 hours a week now.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So this is feast or famine in trucking? Is that because I'm assuming a lot of the other drivers at the port who are doing, traditional goods, they're seeing less work?
Yes, the people hauling dry goods, they went from 3 loads a day down to 3 loads a week.
Man, I can't imagine for the owner operators what that must be like. Have you talked with many of them?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and so how are they coping with that loss of work?
They just try to pick up as much work as they can, anywhere way they can. You know, they're really hurting.
All right, Stephen, thanks, and hope you're able to avoid burnout given the kinds of hours you're working hauling frozen food to Los Angeles. That's Stephen in Long Beach. Abel in Bloomington in San Bernardino County. I understand you drive for FedEx?
Yeah, so I'm in FedEx. We're down here at the terminal in San Bernardino, and we're just seeing all kinds of crazy stuff going on right now where people are hoarding. We're out here doing this as usual, honestly. So a lot of the people that are doing all these hoarding things and just taking up all the goods that people need, there's no need for it. There's no shortage of food. There's no shortage of supplies. We're just here to
all kinds of crazy stuff going on right now.
And we're just here to get all these supplies out.
Yeah. It's got to be frustrating, though, for some of you, if you see people are hoarding things and you know, you're making deliveries over and over again of the same things to the same place. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it is and it isn't, because for the most part, we're seeing a lot of the distribution centers. So we know that there's no shortage of food.
Yeah.
Seeing the major distribution. The problem is people are just lining up constantly. My wife went out for 3 days straight looking for baby wipes. For whatever reason, I know that the toilet paper's out, but don't buy the baby wipes, people. There's actual babies that need these wipes. So we've just been stocking as much as we can. Like I said, everything's business as usual. We haven't really seen a increase in hours just because we have so many drivers.
Yeah. Yeah, Abel, thank you. I appreciate you giving the FedEx perspective on this. Jeff in Hollywood, I understand you drive for food delivery services as well as ride-hailing companies. So what's going on with the different kinds of customers you've got?
Yeah, well, for most of us, we are basically, as the other Uber driver said, he's getting one ride per day instead of 32. I've seen my number of rides cut down to less than 4 per day, and I've done a lot of caviar and other deliveries too, but people need to understand that not only has our income been cut by over 50%, but then most of us who then would maybe make some of that up on tips, you're dealing with people who are generally searching for cheaper deals, less, you know, less costs. And so the tips have also gone pretty much away. Out of 22 rides, I had a $1 tip.
Oh, no.
This week. So maybe people might consider if you put forth more and you wouldn't normally tip, or you might normally tip like 10%, maybe up the tip a little bit, because, you know, we're already dealing with 50% or less of our normal income, and you might help make up for that.
Yeah, Jeff, that's very good advice. Are you making up at all in food delivery runs what you were making for Uber?
No, I'm still basically, I used to make about $100 to $150 a day. That's kind of what I would budget for and work what I needed to support other jobs like coaching youth soccer and acting. And now I'm making about $50 a day. And basically, it's just shifted from rideshare to food delivery.
All right, Jeff, thank you for sharing your experience, which I know was one shared by many, many people working in the gig economy. Buck in Newport Beach says, I work for a delivery service, and in the past couple of days, they dropped the pay by a third. That doesn't even make me want to work with the company that I work for, but they know that there will be people who are willing to work for it. So many people, of course, are seeing their hours cut or completely going away as a result of COVID-19. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Robert in Hollywood says, I drive for ride-hailing company. I'm only accepting food orders now. The pay is very bad, but I feel like I have an obligation to help, so I'm making deliveries. It's been different picking up and dropping off food because we're trying to minimize contact as much as possible. Again, thank you to all of you that are driving, that are stocking, that are checking people out in supermarkets, that are doing all the things you're doing to enable us to keep our home stocked with what we need and able to bring us the food that we need. We appreciate it very much. It's AirTalk on KPCC.